This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Do you believe that Tiger Woods is a contender at the PGA Championship? I don't know if he is or isn't, but all signs point to him being even stronger than he was at the Masters. And keep in mind, the course at Southern Hills, which is in Tulsa, Oklahoma, site of the PGA this year, is not nearly as difficult a challenge when it comes to walking as is Augusta National, which is hilly and long and extensive and just a real difficult Sunday afternoon walk, if you will. And then if you have to walk it Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it becomes not just a challenge for the golfers that are most in shape. So your conditioning and your stamina is an issue at that tournament and at that course. But for Tiger Woods, we know that he was limping over the weekend. He made the weekend at the Masters, but he was struggling physically in his first tournament back since that car accident, which was, 14 months beforehand. The fact that he played it all is phenomenal and still an incredible return and I think an incredible miracle. But he wants to win again. He wants to be a contender. Will the PGA Championship mark the return to that level of golf for Tiger Woods? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We've got the YouTube channel, which I've already said to producer James a couple times since we've been back from vacation, it's time for us to do a new original video on our YouTube channel. And here's the thing. I'm the one who said, Jay, I'll let you be as creative as you want. I will let you come up with all kinds of ideas. And I've already indicated that I would go along with your crazy schemes. And yet, it's been so quiet. Where are your crazy schemes?
Oh, I have a couple, which I will tell you later when we have our little show meeting.
But, yes.
I mean, yeah, we had one that I had an idea for a week ago, which was the food idea. I think we'll move on from that, maybe. Although I still think it's a decent idea.
You tabled the food idea.
I like it still. I do. But I've thought of some other ones. Maybe we can go in a more original direction.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what I have to look forward to at our next show meeting. But in the meantime, if you have not yet seen Chubby Bunny, that is all the rage on our YouTube channel. And there's some other stuff. Unboxing and just all kinds of goofy stuff. Wordle, which, by the way, my mother is still playing. Every single day, she sends me a text or tells me on the phone, Wordle in 5, Wordle in 3. Oh, my goodness, Wordle was really hard today. It took me 6.
Did you play at all on vacation?
I did not. I was barely on my laptop. So initially, the first couple of days of vacation, I had my laptop with me. Oh, I spoiled myself by buying some symphony concert tickets. It was just something that I wanted to do. And so I did that on vacation. Then I did a little bit of binging of a series that I'm watching online. But once my friends arrived on Tuesday, I never turned my laptop on again, like literally never turned it on until I left and got back from vacation. So I didn't check work email the entire time I was gone. Oh, it's so great. I had to apologize to a few people who were waiting for responses. Sorry, I was AWOL. But yeah, that's one of my, so I have several rules for vacation. One of them is no work email whatsoever. Another one is no makeup for an entire week. There's no place I'm going where I need to wear makeup. And another one is very little jewelry. My friends and I went out to eat at this local joint called Amos Mosquito. So this is on Atlantic Beach. Mosquito art. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
I have not.
Okay, so not only drawings and etchings on the wall and some really cool, you could tell that they were cartoonists, say cartoons that were drawn of mosquitoes, but also metal mosquitoes. They had art outdoors along the water. So the restaurant was positioned along the water. Pretty amazing. A really cool scene. Very popular. If you weren't there by 4:45 in the afternoon for the early bird special, well, then you were waiting in line. The food is all locally caught and freshly prepared and delicious. But outside our window is this giant, probably 3 foot tall metal mosquito with red beady eyes. I took a photo. Don't you worry. I have it. So the restaurant's called Amos Mosquitoes. It was recommended by pretty much everybody who had gone to visit Atlantic Beach, plus the locals. It was delicious. So delicious. I had a shrimp dish that I've never had before as an appetizer. A friend and I shared it. And then I also had this incredible meal of scallops. So not only the sea scallops, but bay scallops, and so delicious in cream sauce.
A mosquito theme. I've never heard that before. That's definitely original.
Wait till I show you the giant mosquito. Of course, I did take a photo of said giant mosquito. I have lots of photos and stories yet that I have not told you. We're just never going to get to them. It's going to happen. I just know it. 3 months down the road. Oh, wait, I still have vacation stories to tell you. So I guess you'll just have to listen when I tell them on the radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. So I think I already said it, but I just said it again just in case. I do that a lot.
They don't mind the extra plug.
No. Plus, I think I probably missed one the last time I was on the air. So, okay, so we're good to go there. I do promise a vacation story in this next few minutes, but I've teased Tiger Woods, so it's time to follow up on that tease. Here is Todd Lewis delivering a report about Tiger, his practice rounds, and his presence at Southern Hills in advance of the PGA Championship.
I've noticed we see a different Tiger Woods than we saw in April at the Masters. Tiger arrived here on Sunday, came to the grounds of the first tee at just after 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and he played the front nine yesterday, and then today he played the back nine. Let's first talk about what I saw in his game. Plenty of speed, especially with the driver. As a matter of fact, on the second hole, I watched him hit a monster drive to a sliver of a fairway, and I walked it off. It was a 358-yard drive. I also saw him over the last couple of days hit two iron stingers, and of course, he trademarked that great shot, and that could be very effective for him here on these fast and firm fairways. Now, that's him as a golfer. What about his body? That, of course, is the big key. Well, he says he feels much stronger. As a matter of fact, I asked him emphatically, do you feel stronger than you did at Augusta National for the Masters? And he looked at me with this quote and that electric smile. Oh, God, yes. He told me Monday after the Masters that it was awful for him. But on Tuesday, it was leg day. He was right back in the gym, working to get stronger, working to develop his body so he can come out to the PGA Championship and be in contention once again, especially here at Southern Hills. Now, back home in South Florida after the Masters, he has been playing and practicing quite a bit, but not every day. He has to take some breaks because of his body, but he has been rehabbing each and every day, and he feels enthusiastic. And I said, could you describe that enthusiasm, Tiger? And he said, you know, I'm not going to play a lot of golf moving forward because of my condition. So when I am confident, it's very exciting for me to come to a championship and to try to contend. So I see an energetic, enthusiastic Tiger Woods. His game seems to be sharper. This golf course is not going to offer as much of a challenge, I should say, that Augusta National did in regards to walking. So he's happy about that.
That's Todd Lewis on the Golf Channel. And Tiger told reporters himself on Sunday, it's only going to keep getting stronger regarding his leg. He says, the more I use it, the more strength it gains. Am I ever going to have full mobility? No, never again. But I'll be able to get stronger. It's going to ache, but that's the way it's going to be. So he had flown to Tulsa in late April. We talked about this and played a practice round at Southern Hills. Then he had his caddy in Florida working with him last week. And as you hear Todd's report, he's gone through two practice rounds on the front nine and the back nine. And Would he consider himself a contender? Sure. We know Tiger never goes into a tournament without believing that he can win it and that he's just prepared to deal with the pain and the ache because it's going to be a constant now moving forward. I do believe this is still a huge story. I hope he makes the weekend. I think it's better for golf. But is it the biggest story at the PGA Championship? No, not even a close second. The number one story at the PGA Championship is the fact that the defending champion, Phil Mickelson, has declined to play. This story, this latest twist in Phil's 2022, it's astounding. Why? Why hasn't he played? Why isn't he coming back to defend his title? He became the first ever major winner over 50 years old at the PGA. And I know he's at odds with the organization right now, not the PGA Championship, but the PGA itself, the Professional Golf Association, because he asked for an exemption and a release to play in this Saudi Arabian golf event. The first, it's called the LIV. He asked for an exemption along with several other players like Sergio Garcia, Lee Westwood, if I remember correctly. And he was denied, like everybody was. Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA, has indicated, no, if you decide to go play on that tour, you will lose your PGA status. He's drawn a hard line in the sand, and so far no one has stepped across that line to defy him. But here's Phil, who issued his apology. He went into exile, so to speak. He skipped the Masters. The organizers at Augusta National made it very clear this was Phil's decision, not theirs. They invited him. He declined. He hasn't played since late January. And he's now skipping the PGA Championship. I don't understand it. Either rip the Band-Aid off and get back to the PGA Tour if that's what you're going to do. Or if you're not, just go play in Saudi Arabia. Say, screw it. I'm not going to be part of the PGA anymore. I don't care. I'll just go play in Saudi Arabia. He played a very high-stakes game of chicken with the PGA Tour and lost. As in, down in a blaze of glory, lost. Just like Phil's short game. Well, just like Phil's golf game, but specifically a short game. He's aggressive. He goes for it. He comes up with these crazy circus shots. Sometimes they work. Sometimes they fail miserably. That's Phil. That's how Phil Mickelson lives his life. He's a gambler. We know this, both literally and figuratively. He's fearless. Where's that Phil Mickelson? Yeah, you made a calculation and you lost. You gambled and you lost. Why are you hiding? Go play in Saudi Arabia. Well, actually, this event is in London. Go play on that tour if that's what you want to do. Or if you don't, get back to the PGA. Tiger Woods was welcomed back after everything that he went through in his personal life. And it actually personally involved other golfers on the tour at the time. If I remember, it was Jesper Parnevik who was the one that introduced him to his former wife, Elin. She was his family's nanny. So there were people that were angry at him. There were people that didn't ever look at him the same. But as Jack Nicklaus points out, the world is a very forgiving place. I say rip the Band-Aid off and come back, or don't, and go play on the Saudi Arabian tour like you wanted to. The longer he remains away and the longer he remains sequestered in exile, the longer this is a story. I honestly think he's making it worse by not getting back out in public, reappearing, and not worrying about what everyone says. Since when has Phil Mickelson ever cared That's the part that I don't get. I feel like he's dragging this out and making it worse. Now, I'm not Phil Mickelson, but if you still have a PGA Tour card, which he very well could have played this weekend at the PGA Championship, again, as the defending champion, who's still a PGA card holder, he declined to play, but he was invited. He was on the entry list. I don't get it. If there was ever a time to return, wouldn't this be it? I know it's not the same course, it's a different part of the country, but this was one of his greatest triumphs in his career. Return to the site of that, get back to golf, let people say what they're going to, and then it flames out in a couple of days. He's not the first golfer ever to be shrouded in controversy. He won't be the last. He's not the first athlete ever to be shrouded in controversy. He won't be the last this week, for heaven's sakes. He's never been gun shy. That's the part that I don't understand. This so doesn't fit with his personality. Unless there's something else going on here. Unless mentally, his heart isn't in it. That sounds funny. Emotionally, his heart isn't in it. Mentally, he's not focused enough to be able to play. This can't just be about clashing with the PGA Tour. Just like the NFL, just like Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NHL, the sport, the league, the events are always bigger than one person, one athlete. And so the PGA Tour will go on without him. It went on without Tiger Woods. It'll go on without Phil Mickelson. He already had kind of drawn back on the number of events he was participating in anyway. That's why it was such a gift when he won the PGA a year ago. This is a world, the social media age, the digital age, where not even Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham Jr. or some of the crazy, I know I just picked two wide receivers, but some of the crazy stories that come out of the world of sports, none of them remain number one for long. There's always something that trumps it the next day, the next week. And honestly, right now, if not for the PGA Championship, isn't Phil Mickelson out of sight, out of mind? It's not like we're talking about him on a regular basis. This just blows me away, though. If you're gonna eschew the PGA Tour, then just go play with Saudi Arabia. Now, this is the other piece of the story, which I think is really fascinating. This LIV Golf Series, Golf Invitational Series. These are the Saudi Arabian organizers. They actually offered Jack Nicklaus, who has admitted he can no longer play golf, $100 million. Actually, Jack says more than $100 million to be the face of this series of tournaments that they're doing. So the Fire Pit Collective website is where this information comes from. Jack Nicklaus told them he twice has turned down offers to partner with this tour that hopes to be a challenge to the PGA Tour. So Greg Norman is probably their most famous partner right now, and he's been a spokesman, and he's been working with them. But Jack Nicklaus says, once verbally, once in writing, I said, guys, I have to stay with the PGA Tour. I helped to start the PGA Tour. And he's 82 years old. He's a 73-time winner. He holds the record for most major championships. That I can understand. And at 82 years old, what are you going to do with $100 million? I mean, I guess you could donate it if what you really wanted to do was, let's say, start a school or start an academy. Or, I mean, he's into golf course design. But at 82 years old, money is really not as much of a driving force anymore. So it's kind of interesting. But what it does is underscore the point that this tour has money to burn. As in, literally light it on fire, if that's what the Saudi Arabians want to do. So I'm befuddled. I'm puzzled by Phil Mickelson's actions. It seems to go so against what we know about him personally and also professionally. He's a gambler. He's the gambler. And this whole hiding thing, I don't understand it. I wish he would come back and play, because I feel like the quicker he gets back to golf, the quicker this fades away. And I'm not even sure the average sports fan is still even following it or even knows what's going on, really. And why not the PGA Championship? Tiger's in the field. So he's taking a lot of the attention anyway, right? Interesting. The whole thing is fascinating, and yet still there's this undertone of, oh, something's up. Something's not right. And I hate it for Phil because he's been so good for golf for so long. We all screw up. We can't all go into hiding, nor is it necessarily the right thing to do. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. It's like when I was a kid, I hated to apologize, like hated it. I would cry before I would say I was sorry. And the longer I dragged it out, the worse it became to utter the words. He's already said he's sorry. Let's get this over with, shall we? It's After Hours.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Here's with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Thanks for hanging out with us as we morph into a Tuesday morning. I feel as though I'm getting closer to being more comfortable in the routine again. As much as I adore vacation, and I do, it's always more difficult, even more difficult than what I do on the weekends, which is flip my schedule and sleep at night. It's a bad idea. By all accounts, everyone tells you who works late nights or overnights, you should stay on the schedule if you want to have consistent sleep. Neither Jay nor I do that, and so that's why we sleep like crap. So anyway, I on the weekends sleep Friday night and Saturday night, and then every Sunday into Monday go back to the overnight schedule, and it's always difficult and especially hard when you're coming off vacation. No, don't cry for me, Argentina. But I feel like I'm more comfortable now after doing it for the Sunday into Monday. And game sevens, they don't hurt. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Also, the fact that we had so many game sevens prevented me from really telling you many stories except for how I saved a stingray when I was on vacation. Actually, the video podcast, the vodcast, that sounds very weird. It sounds too much like vodka. But I was being honest about the whiskey and the vodka. He's sending me some, so I'm going to have to share it. I can give it to you, and you can, I don't know, what will you do with it?
I'll try it. I don't generally drink too much whiskey or vodka. I'm more of like a beer when I drink alcohol. But oh yeah, I'll definitely give it a shot, of course.
Or do I?
A shot, get it?
I do get it.
I didn't mean to do that.
Pun not intended. If I want to impress someone, I suppose I can give them the whiskey and vodka. I don't really know many people that I think that would be an impressive gift for.
I feel like vodka or whiskey or alcohol is always a pretty solid gift.
Okay.
Can't really go wrong. It's not really personal, but it can be.
Exactly.
If you know that they like it, but this is kind of like a really specific one. So I don't know.
I've taken one shot of whiskey in my entire life. And it's because I was dating a guy who lived in Kentucky and they had some special like homegrown local whiskey.
Bourbon is.
Well, no, but this was a whiskey.
Different,
it was
right.
It was locally brewed. Do you say brewed about whiskey?
Distilled.
Distilled. Okay, locally distilled. Seriously, this is way out of my comfort zone. Anyway, so he and his family had me try it. And it was awful. But that was it. One shot of it and I was done.
You didn't like it?
Just, no.
Like a sip or like a...
Not really. No, I took a shot.
Yeah?
Not really a hard liquor person. I'm not really a liquor person at all. I know very little, as you can tell by this conversation. That's why when Jason Brown asked me about my drink of choice, I kind of started stuttering. I do like a good coconut rum and diet, or coconut rum and Coke. I'll do coconut rum. Mom and I every now and then we'll have a glass of Riesling with dinner, but that's pretty much it. I am so boring. I mean, this radio life is so glamorous, you know, that on the weekends, all I want to do is sit around and hang out in my sweatpants and not have to go anywhere.
No complaints here.
So speaking of vacation, I mean, I told you a little bit on last night's show, and then if you looked at the pictures that are on Twitter, A-Law Radio, you would know that the weather was not typical of a beach vacation. So I never once pulled out my beach towel or wore a bathing suit. Finally, by the end of the week, I was able to wear shorts and tank tops, and I did get some sun. But it was a week like with weather that really wasn't cooperating. Mostly the wind prevented me from engaging in some of the activities that I love on vacation. One of those is kayaking. So my friends and I were planning on going kayaking middle of the week, but the gale force winds all the way through Wednesday. So from Sunday essentially to Wednesday, you can't take boats out on the water in this kind of wind. I mean, there's warnings about this kind of stuff. Do not be on the water when there are gale force winds, not only because you could get capsized because of the currents. And so we didn't get to go kayaking. By the time the winds died down on Thursday evening into Friday, I had a choice to make. Do I go kayaking or do I finally try to get in this horseback ride that has been delayed and postponed all week long? Again, because of the gale force winds and the fact that I was scheduled to do a ride along the island shoals on the Pamlico Sound, as well as along the beaches and through some water. And with the winds blowing the way they were, the beaches were gone, according to the stables where I had arranged to ride. So on Friday, I decide, of all the things that I most want to do, horseback riding is my favorite thing. Horses and riding, I'm over the moon when I have the opportunity. The stables where I was supposed to ride were about 45 miles away from where I was staying. No biggie, chance to see some North Carolina countryside. But as I'm driving on Friday afternoon, I can see these crazy storm clouds. I mean, high thunderstorm clouds, thunder boomers that are stretching way up into the sky, and they're dark and there clearly had been rain. And I'm wondering, oh no, is it going to get canceled or postponed again? And so I keep going and I get to the stable. And as I get to the stable, it's raining. Now, there's no thunder and lightning at this point, but it's raining. And I'm the only one there. I can't figure out where the guide is. I got there a little early, but I see the horses are saddled up and ready to go. There were five or six of them that I could see, but there was nobody else around. So I call the stables and, oh, your guide, his name's Jeremy. He's in a cowboy hat. He'll be there in a second. And so Jeremy shows up and we were waiting for a family of four. And while we're standing there, it starts raining harder. And I asked him, do we go in the rain? Are the horses okay in the rain? He laughs. Well, they're used to being out in the rain. So yeah, it's no biggie. He said, as long as it's not thundering and we don't see lightning, we should be good to go. Okay. So I'm praying like, please, 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 Lord, I want to get this ride in. It's my last day to be able to do this. So a couple of minutes later, the family of four shows up and he says, okay, we're going to go. All right, well, I put on my raincoat because we were pretty sure it was going to rain at some point while we were out there. It did stop for a bit, and this is amazing. When the rain stopped over the water, gorgeous, towering rainbow. at various stages, as we're saddled, well, the horses were saddled, but as we're getting on and getting ready to go. And actually, there were two of us that were experienced riders, but the other three outside of the guide had spent almost no time on horseback. In fact, one woman had never been on a horse before. And so there was some time trying to train them and get them ready. So I was already on my horse, a filly named Faith, and I was just hanging out taking photos. Well, I was able to take these phenomenal photos of this rainbow, which at various points along our ride was a double rainbow and a triple rainbow. At one point, I couldn't get a photo of the triple rainbow because it was very faint, the third one, but I've never seen a triple rainbow before. So we've got these dark, dark clouds, breaks of sunshine here and there. We get rained on at one point, the shower that comes through, we're completely drenched, but there were no thunderstorms. So we were able to ride not just along the beach. And I put photos up on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and Jay's going to put the photos up on Facebook after I finish my story here. So we not only ride along the beach and in the sand, which was really neat. Faith, she enjoyed being just about in the water. These horses are so strong. So we're climbing up and over dunes and the horses are doing all the work. But then we cross from one island or one shoal to another, and at times it's nothing but a sandbar, but because there had been so much rain and the wind had blown in so much water, we're walking through 6 feet of water. So I've never done this before. I mean, I've ridden horses along the beach, but I've never ridden through actual water like this before. And so he tells us, you're probably going to get wet, but we had just gone through a rain shower, so whatever, we're already wet. And it was super cool. Now, I did one time pull my phone out and take photos while I was on the horse in the middle of this water crossing. Scared to death, thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to drop my phone. That's going to be the end of it. Faith's going to step on it. That goodbye to my brand new phone.
That's dangerous.
It was dangerous and I was scared. Thankfully, I did not. I was able to grab a couple pictures. But more than that, one of the other riders, she had a loop on her iPhone. And so she was out. She was like taking videos and photos. And so she took a couple of photos and then sent them to me, which was very kind of her. I started talking to her dad. He said, hey, what do you do for a living? And I initially downplayed that I do radio, but he kept asking questions. And so he wanted to find out where he could listen. So maybe we picked up some new listeners. These are North Carolina residents, but they're not from the beach. They were there on vacation. Anyway, so we get all the way across this water, kind of stretch of the sound, and we get over to the other island. And as we get up onto the sand, what do we see? A crack of lightning. Now it's way off in the distance, right? But it was a clear, very clear bolt of lightning. So right away, our guy Jeremy is like, that's it, we're turning around. So we get over to the other island, and then we have to turn around and go back across the water. We end up getting our ride cut a little bit short. It was about to be 90 minutes, or it was supposed to be 90 minutes, and we ended up doing about an hour and 10, an hour and 15. Faith was very headstrong. She was so much fun. At one point, she got stuck in something that was like quicksand, or she stepped in a part of this island that was like quicksand, and boy, did she get all kinds of antsy. She bounces up and twists in the air, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm about to get bucked off again. It's happened once before in my life, but not in a really long time. Anyway, she was beautiful, and I have to tell you one more story about Faith. So we'll put the photos up on Facebook. They're on Twitter, the rainbow photos, the riding on the beach. When I first walked up, Faith was the first horse that was, she was tied up to a part of the fence. And because I'm such a goof over horses, I went to say hello to her and pet her. And as I'm getting close to her, I'm walking up on what would have been the right side of her head. The guide yells, don't touch her. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm sorry. And I walk, he's like, just get away from her right side. And I'm thinking, oh no, what did I do? He said, this horse is so spooky. She will freak out if someone walks up to her right side. She sees ghosts out of her right eye. So some horses just have these weird quirks. They get spooked from one side or another. And he said, she will start kicking and like bucking and all kinds of stuff if you walk up on her right side and she doesn't have a rider on. Once she has a rider on, she's good. But if she's just standing there, he said, she'll tear things up if you walk up on her right side. So he apparently prevented me from being kicked by a horse, which I really appreciate. And then he says to me, okay, we're going to put you on Faith. great. The horse who sees ghosts and is freaked out by anybody who's on her right side. Yeah, but she was very headstrong, but she was also really strong and a great mount. And we really enjoyed. I got a couple selfies with her. She didn't. She was about like Penny with selfies. So we had this hour and 15 minutes where it was dry, mostly dry, but no thunderstorms. And got to cross this stretch of water, which was really amazing. And I got to take some awesome photos of a rainbow. And here's the other thing I'll say before we take our break. It was the only ride they did all week. So I was supposed to ride on Tuesday. Everything got pushed. They had not done a ride since Sunday of the previous week because of the rain, because of the winds, mostly because of the gale force winds. They can't get the horses out in water like that. And so the only ride they did all week was Friday afternoon. And I'm so grateful that I was able to be part of it because it was really neat. Made some new friends, but mostly got to enjoy a brand new experience with rainbows everywhere we looked. So it was awesome. So we'll put those pictures up on Facebook, and then they're on Twitter as well, A-Law Radio. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Mahomes fires for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown, Kansas City!
Murray back to throw, and it is. Is it caught? Is it caught? Oh, my goodness, it's caught! DeAndre Hopkins caught it!
He's got a man wide open. John Brown, he makes the catch. Touchdown, Buffalo! John Brown from Josh Allen.
Lamar Jackson in the shotgun. Lob to the five. It is caught. Touchdown, Willie Snead.
Play fake by Russ.
Throws deep. Man wide open. It's Lockett. He's in. Touchdown, Seahawks!
Tannehill rolling, throwing.
Burrow back to pass, throws into the end zone.
Yeah.
It's intended for Tyler Boyd.
Touchdown.
Touchdown, yeah. Bengals.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
What? It's May, but it's always time for QB News since we are obsessed. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you, Voice God. Well, the biggest quarterback name in the news right now is not even Tom Brady after his fat contract with Fox whenever he retires from the Buccaneers or from football altogether. It's actually Drew Brees, because the reports are that he and NBC have parted ways after 1 year. Brees puts a tweet out there responding to the speculation in which he lists a variety of things that he might be doing in the near future, including returning to football. So that actually is news to the Saints' new head coach, Dennis Allen, who's taking over for Sean Payton while he's out finding himself in the universe.
I thought, well, that's interesting. That'll bring up some questions tomorrow at the golf tournament. So, yeah, but certainly, you know, I think it was a comment made in jest, and we certainly hadn't had any conversations in that regard. I don't really want to live in those hypothetical worlds right now. We'll see where it all goes, but certainly he caused a lot of interest, that's for sure.
So Dennis Allen, with the birds in the background, doesn't think that the tweet was meant to be taken literally. In fact, he reiterates the Saints' commitment to Jameis Winston as their starting quarterback. Of course, they signed him to a new deal, even though he's coming off the torn ACL, after a lot of the other dominoes had dropped in the quarterback musical chairs, the high-stakes game of musical chairs. The Saints have also picked up Jarvis Landry. Now, he goes back to where he played his college ball in Louisiana, like Tyrann Mathieu, so a pair of LSU guys. Landry returns and now will play for the Saints, and he's smiling. You can hear it when he talks about playing in New Orleans and also partnering with Jameis.
Something that's very important to me at this stage in my career, and obviously have an opportunity to know what Jameis is going to do back there. So, knowing that I'll have some chance to make some plays out there too. You know, he's going to throw it and he's going to make plays, and he's going to trust his guys to make plays for him. And as a receiver, that's all you need. You know, that's all you want.
And the reports as well are that Michael Thomas will be playing for the Saints this season. So Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, let's see what else happens. Jameis was playing exceedingly well when he was taking good care of the football. The Saints were winning before he got hurt. So I don't know what happens as they transition away from Sean Payton. And once Payton gets a taste of the money and the cushy TV schedule, he may never go back to coaching, a little bit like Bill Cowher. So it's a new era for the Saints, and yet they've got some holdovers. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The NFC South, well, that's a mystery. How about the AFC South, where the Tennessee Titans reside? And recently, Ryan Tannehill stirred up the pot while talking about how it's not his job to mentor the rookie Malik Willis. Lots of people criticized him for saying that, not me. His head coach, Mike Vrabel, no problem with it.
I thought Ryan handled that very well. I thought he was genuine. I thought he was authentic. And I know Ryan is a great teammate. Everybody here knows he's a great teammate. And that is not his job. His job is to prepare to help us win a bunch of games and be a great teammate and help out. And I know that he's going to do that. So that was not any sort of issue for me.
He's got the support of his head coach, even though it seems like Ryan Tannehill may be entering his last year with the Titans. Kind of seemed like that with Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners. And now, we haven't had much time to talk about the schedule release because I wasn't here. Dang it, I missed that. But there are some juicy matchups, like Carson Wentz, who pretty soon, if he continues on this current path, every team in the NFL will be a former team. But he'll be facing the Eagles for the first time in week number 3. And he was remarking about that matchup on NFL Network.
I know that'll be a big game. A lot of emotions. I'm sure fans will eat that one up, and it'll be fun and make for a good storyline. But at the end of the day, it's going to be just another ball game. Another ball game, and it's going to be a huge divisional game for us to, when that one comes. So I'm excited for it, but at the same time, I'm trying not to get too excited for that one because, again, it's just football and can't press, can't do too much.
So that's Carson Wentz on NFL Network. I have to remember that he's in Washington. Eagles also have a bit of a reunion. Not Eagles. Patriots have a bit of a reunion with Joe Judge, who's back in New England. How closely will he work with their young quarterback, Mac Jones, compared to the other guys on the offense?
Yeah, so I'll give you a direct answer right there, not to be a base or anything. I am working with Mac, along with, some other people in the offense. I'm working with all the skill group on offense. I'd say all of us are working collectively, all right, as a coaching unit to work with the entire offense. So that's the most direct and specific answer I could give you on that, guys. Mm-hmm. In terms of who's coaching each position, you'll see me on the field with the quarterbacks. We'll be meeting together as a skill group. We'll break off an individual meeting.
All right, we got it.
Us, it's important right now for all of our coaches to be able to coach all the skill players.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, or for that matter, the line players as well as we go through this. And as we divide up and run 2 and 3 spot drills, it's important that if it's a ball handling drill, Vinny Sinceri is running it, that Vinny can coach the quarterbacks as well. And we're all on the same page. And it's been a main emphasis for us as a coaching staff that we want to make sure we can all coach all the players and that nobody's out there, with, a lack of knowledge in the offense.
It sounds like it's going to be a tough transition for him from being the voice with the New York Giants as their head coach to not being a voice, because Bill Belichick doesn't really have his assistant coaches and his coordinators talk a whole lot. But you might as well get it done now. I'm going to give you a direct answer, folks. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week 1? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.